The following podcast is for people who grew up in the 90s.
Wherever you are right now, you're about to be transported back in time.
And get ready for a nostalgia-filled trip down memory lane
with the 90s Today podcast, where we talk about the 90s today.
And by the way, do you love orange sodas? Because we do.
And here it goes.
With your hosts, Brandon and James.
Hey, you wild and crazy 90s kids, you're listening to the Nostalgia Mothership, known only as the 90s Today Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon, and here is my co-host,
James.
We have our special guest,
Chris.
And today we're going to be talking about 90s March Madness movies.
That's right. So we're going to do what we did back in 2020. Wow, that's 4 years ago, Brandon. Where we
pandemic, you know.
Yeah, we're going to pick 32 movies this year. Put them in their respective categories, and we're going to have one ultimate winner on next week's episode. And then, at the end of the month, we're going to focus on an entirely new episode just based on the winner. So whatever movie wins next week, we're going to have its own episode on the last weekend of March. So stay tuned for that.
So how you been, James?
Oh, I've been good. Just, you know, just doing the mailman thing like always. Chris, what about you?
I'm a teacher, so I've been on spring break this week.
Oh, so nice.
Oh, yeah. That all ends Monday, though.
Brandon, what about you, pal?
Nothing much has changed for me.
Well, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, good, huh?
It's good. I mean, nobody's doing...
How about that weather?
What's that?
How about that weather?
Oh, it's been great, except for today.
Yeah.
And when you're a mailman and it rains like it has, it sucked.
80 degrees yesterday, and now we're, what, 60? We're in the 60s. And
that's right. We're,
I think Monday's going to be 54.
We're old. We're talking about the weather.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, thanks for joining us again this week. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's always a lot of fun.
All right.
So now we're going to toss it to Chris for trivia.
First of all, did we have any winners from last week's trivia question?
I don't think we did, didn't we?
Ah, that sucks. Guys, if you want to win a fabulous no-prize shout-out only on the 90s Today podcast, just answer the question on the Instagram post. It's that easy.
Maybe they forgot our Instagram handle.
No, it's at the90s today.
There we go.
It's pretty easy. All right, Chris, take it away.
All right, guys, I think this is an easy one this week. At least I think it is. Let's see if you know this. What punk rock band released the album Dookie in 1994?
If you think that you know the answer to this week's trivia question, be the first to correctly guess on our Instagram post, and you could be the winner of a fabulous no-prize shout-out only on the 90s Day podcast. I almost had it,
Brandon. One take, James, wasn't this time. Nope.
That's okay. We'll get it back.
That's all right. I had trouble even saying what today's episode's about, so.
It's a mouthful.
All right, so you want to get into question and answer time, James?
Let's do it. A little bit of Q&A.
Riddle me this, riddle me that.
All right, so on Facebook, we had an account called The Delicious Recap, Family Matters. Okay.
What?
It's delicious. Best Batman villain ever. Not just your favorites. Ever.
Wow. That includes any TV show, movies, comics, anything?
Oh, here's Chris about to say, you know, like, what, King Tut?
You read my mind. I was going to pull out some King Tut or Egghead from the TV show from the 60s. But no, not really. Those aren't two of the best.
You know, I've always been a fan of the Scarecrow villain. I wouldn't say that he's like Batman's, you know, arch. Definitely his arch. It's Joker. Come on. But that's just my favorite, the being able to weaponize fear that way. I think that's just the coolest thing ever. And as a reader of the comics, they really don't use that character at all anymore, it seems.
They don't. You know, Cillian Murphy's portrayal in the movies was spot on, I think, from what the character should be. And anytime, you know, you can use fear on people, that's an easy way to control people.
Right. So, yeah, Scarecrow... definitely my choice. Chris? Brandon?
You know, I haven't watched Batman a lot, so really the only thing I would know would be Joker.
And you know what?
That's probably might be what people think. I mean, that's...
I mean, it's his eternal adversary, his arch nemesis. So, I mean, you can't really go wrong with picking the Joker.
I'm partial to Ra's al Ghul.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of story there, a lot of history there, and then with Talia's daughter, and just overall, of course, the Joker, I'm sure, is what is known, of course, to be his you know, main enemy, the number one enemy, I guess you could say. But Ra's al Ghul, I would say.
Yeah, all good choices, I think. So thanks again for answering our Q&A posts, and we'll post another one next week, and we'll be answering some more.
Hit that parade. You got A's.
All right, Brandon.
All right, so 30 years ago today.
All right, let's start it. Okay, looks like the number one movie in America 30 years ago today was Guarding Tess. Brought in $7 million in the box office.
Yep, Nick Cage.
Home Improvement was their TV show. 38.9 million views.
Oh, wow. That's I think this is the second week in a row that Home Improvement was king of the airwaves. Right? What was the fictional book of the week there, Chris?
Looks like it was Accident by Danielle Steele. Ooh. Who was at the top of her game, and she was the reigning queen of trash fiction back then.
All right, looks like the number one nonfiction book 30 years ago today was Embraced by the Light, once again by Betty J. Eddy with Curtis Taylor.
And the favorite album was Music Box by Mariah Carey.
All right. And I believe that's, what, second week in a row?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. And number one song, Chris, 30 years ago today. What was it?
We've Got the Sign by Ace of Base.
Yeah. Sing it, James.
Who can forget that?
Sing it, James.
I don't have to sing it because we're going to play 5 seconds of it for you right now.
I think people would rather hear 5 seconds of you singing it.
Nah, 5 seconds right now.
Okay. Is that the dance you do?
That's the dance I do, listening to Ace of Base, The Sign.
That was right. A great 5 seconds. What a song.
The bestest ever.
All right, Mark Summers, are you ready?
Ready for what?
We're ready for 90s and 90.
All right, it's time to talk about a little bit of 90s news happening today. Mark Summers?
Count us down.
On your mark. Get set.
Following on the heels of last weekend's Mario Day festivities, Super Mario creator Shigeru Miyamoto took to X to announce that a new Super Mario Bros. Film will be released on April 3rd, 2026. Miyamoto said that Illumination and Nintendo were once again working together to create another bright and fun story and to broaden Mario's world further. He also said that Nintendo will let fans know more details once they're ready to share more. More movie news, but this time it's gonna be a scream, baby! Neve Campbell will return as Sidney Prescott to battle Ghostface in the upcoming and untitled Scream 7 after a pay dispute kept her from being in Scream 6. Neve took to Instagram to reveal that not only is she excited to return to the franchise, but that Kevin Williamson, the creator of the franchise, will have a seat in the director's chair for his first time for the series. We'll keep you posted as more info drops. And finally, half shark, half man, fighting evil, that's the plan. Mattel has unveiled a new line of Street Sharks action figures to commemorate the cartoon's 30th anniversary. 7 fantastic figures are planned and are available to pre-order starting March 15th. Back to you, James. Thanks, me. And before we begin our 2024 90s Today March Madness tournament, here's a little something for you.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Mission to get Nickelodeon magazine. It's packed with celebrity interviews and comics and puzzles and great stuff to collect. But only a real live grown-up can call to order it for you. Of course, you can think of a nice polite way to ask.
Nickelodeon magazine, please.
Nickelodeon magazine, please.
You never know who will pop in, what will pop out, and it's so good, you'll eat it all up. And you can get Nickelodeon Magazine delivered to your door. 6 issues for $9.97. Credit cards are accepted. And grown-ups know. It's filled with fun and interesting facts for growing minds.
Unbelievable!
So don't just stand there.
Nickelodeon!
There were lots of ways to show you really want Nickelodeon Magazine. How?
Oh, you'll think of something.
Nickelodeon magazine, please.
Hey, Joey. I got some stuff you just gotta try.
What is it?
Pot. You know, marijuana.
Oh, well, I don't know.
What, chicken?
Joey's in a jam. What should he do?
Get a pizza.
Excellent.
Let's see if Joey's that smart.
I'm not chicken. You're a turkey.
Get real. Joey's the dork. Don't even talk to him.
Cowabunga!
Back to action.
For this. All right, guys, we're back, and we're going to be jumping right into this March Madness bracket for the 90s movies in different genres, action, adventure, horror, and sci-fi, kids, and comedy.
That's right. So what we're doing, it's just like any March Madness bracket. We're taking 8 movies from each genre, and then we're going to pick two are going to go head-to-head until we have what's called the Sweet 16. Because we're starting out with 32, we're going to end with 16 at the end of this episode. And then next week, we're going to start with that Sweet 16 to determine the winner. All right, so we're going to go through the movies for each category right now. See, for action adventure,
it's Tombstone and GoldenEye.
We got Tombstone and GoldenEye, Twister, Mission Impossible, Matrix and Speed, Blade and Jurassic Park. All right. Horror and sci-fi, Chris, take that away.
All right. In horror and sci-fi, we've got Dracula, Star Wars, Phantom Menace, Silence of the Lambs, Fifth Element, Terminator 2, Men in Black, Scream, and Independence Day.
All right. Brandon, take it away with comedy.
Comedy. We got Dumb and Dumber and Wayne's World, Home Alone and Ace Ventura, Friday and Happy Gilmore, and Austin Powers 2 and Mask.
All right. And then for kids' movies, this is a mixture of animated and live action. We have Mighty Ducks in the Sandlot, Aladdin, Space Jam, Toy Story, Lion King, Richie Rich, and Babe. Okay. And like I said, we're going to end with our Sweet 16 at the end of this episode. And whoever wins at the end of next week's episode will get their very own episode dedicated just to them at the last weekend of March. So be on the lookout for that. All right, boys, are we ready?
I'm ready.
Ready as it can be.
All right, so we're going to start. we're going to mix them up. We're going to pick from different categories each time. So we're going to start with action adventure. And here we go. We're pitting up Tombstone against GoldenEye. Okay. My dad would be.
He'd be towards Tombstone.
He would be conflicted right now.
Because he loves Westerns and he loves 007.
And he loves James Bond. And this was the first James Bond movie that we saw in theaters. Tombstone. It's a great Western. I've seen it before.
Great movie.
Won an Academy Award.
Actually, that was Clint Eastwood was Unforgiven.
Oh, there we go. Sorry. Whoops-a-daisy.
That was a guy named
here we go.
George.
Sorry, guys.
George Cosmatos.
We got Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer.
Yes. George Cosmatos was a director.
Sam Elliott was in this too, correct?
Now, there is a cool little bit of trivia here about supposedly there was a lot of chaos on the set, and Kurt Russell himself stepped up and pretty much directed a lot of that movie, uncredited as director.
I did not know that.
He is the man. He can do it all.
All right. Brandon, have you seen Tombstone before?
I have not.
You have not seen? Okay.
No, but GoldenEye, you know, has a legacy.
It does have
not just the movie, but the 007 franchise.
Well, it does. It does indeed.
And did Tombstone continue?
I mean, it's just a Western. But Tombstone is based on actual events. Loosely based on.
GoldenEye brought back Bond
yep.
after being dormant for several years after Timothy Dalton, which I didn't think was a terrible Bond. But we got Pierce Brosnan, which I thought was a great choice. And GoldenEye was excellent.
GoldenEye was an excellent movie. I mean, they took Bond out of the Cold War and put him into current times. Like you said, it revived the Bond franchise. I mean, there hadn't been a James Bond movie made in 6 years. License to Kill, that 1989 Timothy Dalton movie. I mean, they tried to get another Bond movie made, but it just never happened. Apparently, it was going to be called Portrait of a Lady or something like that, I believe. Just never happened.
And we got Famke Janssen, too, in it.
We did indeed. And Alan Cummings, who ended up playing Nightcrawler.
So we had two X-Men that came out of that movie.
Brandon, have you seen GoldenEye?
I have not.
But it is part of the James Bond franchise. And I was a big James Bond fan back when I was a kid. My dad and I've told this story many times. My dad and I, during the holiday season, TBS would show the 13 Days of Bond.
We would
bond over the 13 Days of Bond. I looked, and we didn't own any of these on VHS. It's kind of like it was kind of like blasphemy to own these on VHS because we wanted to wait until the holiday season come up. Like I said, I've seen Tombstone before, but did Tombstone get its own video game? No, it did not. GoldenEye did.
The game is legendary itself.
I'm a huge James Bond mark, I like other things too, but at least I can tell you if something sucks. GoldenEye doesn't suck, but neither does Tombstone. But to me, GoldenEye's the better film. So GoldenEye gets my vote for this one. Chris, what say you?
Oh, GoldenEye, no question about it.
GoldenEye?
GoldenEye. Even though I haven't seen it, I know of its legacy.
All right, so GoldenEye advances. All right, cool. Yay. I'm happy with that one.
I'm very pleased.
All right, Chris, what we got for horror and sci-fi? And I do apologize that I just kind of put horror and sci-fi all together. But if you guys remember, that's usually how you would find them in the section at your local VHS store,
That's
too.
Very true.
So that's why I did it. Does it make sense? No, not at all. But that's just what we're doing. So, all right, so Chris, horror sci-fi. What two films we got going up against each other first?
First, we've got Bram Stoker's Dracula from 1992 and Star Wars Phantom Menace from 1999. And as big a fan as I am of the Francis Ford Coppola version of Dracula, I'm going to have to go with Phantom Menace.
Okay.
It did bring Star Wars back, and you can argue about the quality and everything, but it did bring Star Wars back. And, you know, and after the sequels, you know, I don't really hate the prequels as bad anymore.
That's true. We can still hate on Attack of the Clones, though. Attack of the Clones.
And we can always hate on Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. And your favorite part of The Phantom Menace was
Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You know, the first time I watched Bram Stoker's Dracula was maybe 2 years ago during the month of October. Loved it. Thought it was fantastic. Just like you said, Francis Ford Coppola directed. What I liked about this movie is that it seemed as if it was adapted from a stage play, because there was just a lot of scenes that looked like it was filmed on a stage, especially the beginning of the film where it's showing like Vlad the Impaler and his armies and stuff. Just really cool looking. There's a whole bunch of really cool visual effects. But I think the one thing that really drags this Dracula film down is, and I don't know if it's his fault or what, but man, Keanu Reeves with an English accent is really weird. They could have gotten away with him just having his regular American accent. People may have raised an eyebrow to that, but then again, they wouldn't have raised two eyebrows hearing him with an English accent. Now, Star Wars, when I saw that thing as a kid, I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Just waiting for this thing to come out was insane.
Pod racing?
The crazy lightsaber battles. Mm-hmm. Darth Maul in it being awesome for all but 5 minutes. Amazing. He had all the merch, all the toys. But I'm talking about the film here. Man.
Waiting in line at the movie theater.
Waiting in line at the movie theater with my pregnant mom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mom knew that was an event day for me.
So if you could leave out the film and just base your vote on everything else.
I know.
It's a runaway winner. Right?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, I'll say this. If you handed me... I try to look at this at this bracket like this. For each vote, if you're on a deserted island and you are given the option of Blu-ray discs, or you can only stream one movie each. Now, why you're
we
on
have the internet? On
I was about to say. Now, why you're on a deserted? I'm trying to keep it up with today's time.
Elon Musk Starlink. Right. There you go.
All right, here's your 4K disc with a TV that in an Xbox that is powered up, but you can't email anybody to help you. Which one would you pick? If you could watch, if that was the only thing that you could watch for each one, and I don't know, I gotta go with Star Wars on that one.
I'm definitely go with Phantom Menace for this.
Yeah. Brandon, Phantom Menace, and I've never seen Dracula that particular.
That's
one either,
it's so. Good. It's really, it's really different. Good. It's different, but it's good. All right, so Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace advances.
You gonna say it like Jar Jar Binks?
No.
It kind of reminds me of one of the reasons I voted for GoldenEye. It kind of like kept something going,
mm-hmm.
you know, that mm-hmm. people were familiar with and people loved.
And I don't know, the nostalgia for Star Wars, really, the nostalgia.
Yeah, you was getting those magazines.
Star Wars Insiders. Yeah. That was the only way that you could look at behind the scenes pictures of it. I mean, that was the only freaking way.
Yeah.
And I've told my story about how I downloaded the trailer over a weekend.
At the school?
At the school, yeah. What I did, Chris, I'll make it real quick. I didn't have internet at home because it was 97, right? Mm-hmm. Because the trailer came out with Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there was a computer in our computer lab. I went online and you could. There's no YouTube, so you had to watch every movie trailer with Apple QuickTime. All right, so
wow.
I started downloading it on a Friday. I put a sign on the computer monitor that said "computer out of order." Turned the monitor off, but left the computer on, so that way when I got to school on Monday, I watched that thing. I don't know, like 10 times. I had that thing memorized. I was telling all my friends about it at lunch. Like, God, this trailer's amazing. So yeah, it's just.
I remember telling people, like, somebody actually told me before it came out, well, what if it ends up sucking? I remember personally saying, there's no way it can suck in Star Wars. And then, well, anyway, you know the rest.
It's still good. It's, I don't know, it's fun. It's definitely the second best out of the prequels. Definitely. All right, so moving on to comedy. Brandon. What we got?
Dumb and Dumber and Wayne's World.
Dumb and Dumber, Wayne's World. Brandon, what say you?
Oh, I would probably say Wayne's World.
Wayne's World, okay. Yeah.
But you know what? I haven't seen that movie in so long, I don't really know much about it.
So, but, why are you picking Wayne's World over Dumb and Dumber?
I just feel like it would be better than Dumb and Dumber. Yeah.
I got to be honest, you're actually right. I think it is.
Mm.
I was a huge fan of the skits on Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
Wayne's World already. And the movie was incredible. It was a very clever, very cleverly written, typical Mike Myers humor. It was just really clever. There was a part in it where they're showing different sponsors and things, and just the way they do it was so clever the way they did it. Dumb and Dumber was good, and it was funny, but I think Wayne's World just had a little more meat to it.
And it also has the iconic scene of them driving around in the... I believe it was an AMC Pacer.
The Pacer, the Mirthmobile, they called
it.
And
singing Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, that song, when it first came out, only made it to number 2. But once this movie came out, it finally made it to number 1.
It did. It was massive.
Which sucks because it was the after the passing of Freddie Mercury.
It was.
So that sucks. But fun fact, and we talked about this on our Good Burger episode, the Good Burger movie. Are you familiar with Good Burger?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That same AMC Pacer that they drove in Wayne's World, they ended up converting to the Good Burger Mobile in Good Burger.
Really?
Yes.
That is so cool.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I would have to disagree with Wayne's World being the better film. Dumb and Dumber just has that really idiotic humor that I love. That sophomoric humor that I love. The fact that these are just two idiots that are being hunted down by bounty hunters. And they just keep on getting the more stupid shenanigans. And the Jeff Daniels diarrhea scene is quite possibly one of the best toilet scenes in all of cinema, if there is such a thing. But
well,
votes have it.
I am a fan of dumb and dumber humor. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and a good diarrhea scene will always get a chuckle.
Good diarrhea scene.
Get a laugh out of you. Yeah. But no, I stick with Wayne's World.
Yeah, that hurts me. Dumb and Dumber is my favorite Jim Carrey comedy. But yeah, Wayne's World. Wayne's World is good. Brandon, still sticking with Wayne's World? Yeah. Jerk. Okay. All right, Wayne's World.
Do I need to go home now?
Yeah, no, this is your podcast. You can't. Oh. You're stuck. All righty. Wayne's World. Wayne's World advances. All right, Chris, we'll let you do... Brandon, we'll let you do kids' movies there.
All right.
Who are we going up against here?
Huh? We're going up against Mighty Ducks and Sandlot.
Oh, two sports movies. All right, Brandon, what say you, sir?
I would say Mighty Ducks.
You would say Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
So why are we picking Mighty Ducks?
It, the hockey, and...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I know of the Mighty Ducks, I know of it, and I know you love the Mighty Ducks.
Well, don't pick it, because what I like...
Well, the last time, you know, you wanted me to go home, because of Dumb and Dumber.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask you, have you seen the Mighty Ducks?
No.
Have you seen the Sandlot?
No.
I have something special just for you. This is called a coin.
You're giving me money?
Here's a coin.
He's giving you a quarter if you say Mighty Ducks.
No.
Today's economy.
We can use this coin. It's kind of, there's some other movies. There's some movies on here that I haven't seen either. And if it comes to having the vote, oh my gosh, we'll just have to flip a coin. But I'll give that to you,
so we're
Brandon.
Flipping a coin?
No, not right now.
Okay.
Tell you what. We'll let you be the deciding factor. Chris, what say you? Sandlot or the Mighty Ducks?
I'm going to have to go with Sandlot.
All right.
Sandlot just has that really nostalgic feel. And it's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, you know, I teach in school now, quote that movie.
Right.
And have seen it since
Killing
then.
Me
You're
Smalls.
You're Killing Me Smalls.
Yeah.
It's timeless.
Right. I like the saying a lot. I liked it when I was a kid, too. I always thought it was weird that my mom was trying to convince me that, yeah, their neighbor, their blind neighbor. That's Darth Vader. And I'm like, you're crazy.
What?
But, you know, whatever. But here's the deal. I was telling Brandon about this earlier. Like, a lot of kids my age, a lot of 90s kids my age, they love The Sandlot. And that's like one of their favorite kids' movies. But there are a lot of baseball kids' movies from the 90s, and The Sandlot is not my favorite one. There is a movie, a lesser-known movie, that nobody really talks about. It's called Little Big League.
It's about
a kid whose grandpa, who's the manager of the Minnesota Twins, he dies and he leaves the baseball team to his son and his or grandson in his will. And I love that movie. And it's like an over 2 hour long kids movie. Fantastic.
That's the kid that went on to be in American Pie later on. I can't remember his name, but he was, yeah.
Yeah. But saying that, The Mighty Ducks, that's the movie that got me back in the hockey. It's got your Emilio Estevez. It's probably not a better movie. But if it's like that deserted island thing, pick one. I'm going to pick The Mighty Ducks over Sandlot any day of the week. I think it has, like I said, maybe not the best character still, but it's hockey. I love hockey, and it got me into hockey. And I still like hockey today.
Nashville Predators,
and it had two sequels, had an animated series. Mm-hmm. Didn't ever watch the animated series. Watched the Disney Plus series. It was okay-ish. Mighty Ducks. Mighty Ducks all day long. Goofy humor. I don't know. I just like Mighty Ducks more than Sandlot. And I know it's like the same. I know that Sandlot's the better movie. I know it is. I got to pick Mighty Ducks.
And you got to go with your Mighty heart, Ducks, man.
Thanks for the quarter.
No, you got to flip it.
I'm sorry.
All right, so.
Can't happen.
All right, so we'll make heads Mighty Ducks, tails Sandlot. What we got?
Tails.
Every 90s kid listening is rejoicing. Sandlot win. I know they did.
Very pleased with the outcomes of all these so far. All
right. Here we go. We're going back up to action and adventure. Let's see. We got Twister going up against Mission Impossible. Wow. Those came out the same month of the same year.
Really?
Well, the episode that Chris and I were talking about, my mom and dad, we were going to go see Twister that weekend. And then we drive up. It was the theater that's right down the street over here, the Carmike Cinema 1-4. And you have a big marquee outside. So we're going up there. And my dad and I noticed that Mission Impossible just come out that weekend. And we totally did not see Twister at all. That was the whole plan, was to see Twister that weekend. Mission Impossible's out. And we're like, yes, Mission Impossible.
You heard where? Oh, sorry. Those people were watching Twister in the movie theater, and an actual Twister hit the movie theater during the watching of Twister.
Wow,
talk about 4D, 4D, 5D
experience. This movie's great.
I remember going to see both of those.
Yeah,
okay, that was two separate date nights for me back then. Because
the flying cows.
Yeah,
there you go.
I mean, they have flying cows. To me, the most iconic scene in Twister is when it just ravages that drive-in theater and The Shining's playing on the screen. Oh man, that's the cars are crashing down on the where they sell the concessions and everything. That's cool.
I don't really have high hopes for the sequel, Twisters, but we'll see.
Nobody returning from the first movie at all.
Nope.
No characters. Apparently, was it Laura Dern? Apparently, she was... Helen Hunt. Laura Dern from freaking Jurassic Park. Loser. Loser me. Listen to me. I thought Unforgiven was Tombstone earlier. But, apparently Helen Hunt offered to direct Twisters. But they're like,
wow.
Yeah. So some other dudes have done it. Man, Twister versus Mission Impossible. I mean, I love me some Mission Impossible, too. I mean, that spawned... crazy franchise.
I think I'll have to go with Twister.
You're gonna have to go with Twister?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know you've always liked Twister.
Yeah, I always have. And I rode the ride. Well, it wasn't really a ride.
It was like
it walked through to the porch and then the porch collapsed, but you got to see a tornado in there, and it was the drive-thru scene.
I remember.
It wasn't a real tornado,
I think that I went on that. Years and years ago.
That was that time. Remember our Universal Studios episode? Mm-hmm. And you were just absolutely floored with how I criticized everything, even as a kid. That was one of those things. I'm just like, eh.
I didn't
like how hot it was. Like when the sparks would come down and make stuff go on fire. I hated that. I'm like, my face is going to melt off at a damn theme park where I'm supposed to have fun. But Mission Impossible, man. Gosh, all the double crossing. Like, half the supporting cast dies within the first 20 minutes. Emilio Estevez gets elevated.
Really?
In the face. Yeah. Cool gadgets. Like I was telling you, I love espionage and thriller and spy movies, man. I mean, we got a crazy, amazing franchise out of this. It cemented Tom Cruise as a legit action star.
And then you had Brian De Palma directing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, you know I'm going with Mission Impossible.
I got to go with Mission Impossible as well. I love Mission, but boy, Twister though. Hey, we're not saying Twister's bad.
Twister was very entertaining.
I'll probably go see Twisters.
I'll probably see it. I have the memberships. I got to use up movies.
Oh, AMC?
3 movies a week.
Oh, jeez.
For $20 a month, you can't beat it.
See, I thought about doing that, but that's when I first started working at the post office, where they would work me 13 days in a row and be like, I guess we'll give you a day off.
And I was not a lot of time.
Not a lot of time.
Anything.
Now I could, but I like going to the other theater across town where I can pick my seat.
Well, yeah, but I do this because I can see a bunch of movies cheap.
Yeah.
Well, I can go see crap. and I'll have to really pay much for it.
All right. How's that Man of Web treating you?
I know. You know, even though I have that, I have not seen that.
Yeah. All right, so we got horror and sci-fi. Chris, you want to take it away?
Next in horror and sci-fi, we got Silence of the Lambs and The Fifth Element. Mm. And I can already tell you, it's Silence of the Lambs all the way. All
right, why is that?
I read the book a couple of years, actually, before the film came out. And
Thomas Harris.
And I will tell you, it's the closest a movie has come to adapting what I saw in my head when I was reading the book.
Mm.
It was incredible. And not only, I mean, it swept the Oscars deservedly. It's just Silence of the Lambs all the way. I am a big fan of Fifth Element. It was very unique. You know, you had Gary Oldman in it. You can't go wrong with him. But and Bruce Willis, actually. But overall, no, Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs. Okay, Brandon, what say you?
I'm going to have to be a coin tosser.
You have to be a coin tosser? All righty. Brandon, toss that coin.
Well, which one is head or tail?
You decide.
Okay. Heads is Silence of the Lambs and tails is Fifth Element.
Let's see it.
That's tails.
Oh, that's tails. We got, so one for Silence of the Lambs, one for the Fifth Element. All right, so Fifth Element. Very futuristic. We got Mila Jovovich,
mm-hmm.
Bruce Willis, Chris Tucker, Gary Oldman,
Tiny Lister.
And I gotta say, I'm not a big fan of this movie whatsoever. I don't know what it is. I've never gotten into the Fifth Element. I know a lot of people who love it. It's part of like their weekly watching, and I guess it's like one of those science fiction movies that I needed to be there to watch when it first came out. I don't know what it is. I just cannot get into this movie, and I've seen it maybe 3 or 4 times. I guess it's like one of those movies I'll watch like every decade, like thinking maybe I'll find something into this.
Haven't.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just like, it's just not for me. Silence of the Lambs, that's for me. Serial killers. Hell, you get 2 serial killers in this movie. And what I love about this movie so much is that you have an FBI agent that gets help from a serial killer, an incarcerated serial killer, to help track down another serial killer, which is basically what Ted Bundy did with the FBI to help track down actual real-life serial killers while he was incarcerated. So it's just...
And at the time, you really didn't have a lot of that on in film or TV.
Right.
So it was kind of groundbreaking.
Yeah, and that. Anthony Hopkins won an Academy Award for supporting actor, and he's only in the movie.
No, he actually won Best Actor.
Best Actor, and he's only in the movie for like 7 minutes or something.
And Jodie
like
Foster won Best Actress, wow. Jonathan Demme, director.
Did it win Best Movie?
It won Best Picture, wow. It won Best Adapted Screenplay. It swept the Oscars. And what's interesting, it came out actually near Valentine's Day of that year.
Aww.
Most Oscar movies, especially ones that most movies that especially sweep the Oscars always come out towards the end of the year because they're fresher in the Academy's minds. That came out at the beginning of the year and it still swept.
I don't want to say I like serial killer stuff because that makes me sound weird. But then again, all of you ladies listening out there right now, all 2 of you, I know what you watch on Netflix. I know what you watch on True TV because I've dated a girl and that's all she watched. So y'all like this crap.
Oh,
so,
yeah. They're watching the show Snapped on Oxygen Network and that kind
of
thing.
Silence of the Lambs advances. All right. Tell you what, I'll do some comedy this time around. We got Home Alone versus Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Oh. Brandon, take it away.
How can you not go with Home Alone?
How could you not go with Home Alone? All right, yeah, so why Home Alone?
Well, I mean, it just follows the kid, which you were a kid at the time, and your parents leave you. And it's cool to watch the guy go out and set traps for these people that are... trying to break in. Because remember, the guy starts, one of the robbers comes in as a cop and he's trying to case out the houses to figure out which one he's going to rob. And it's just fun living through the kid's life in the movie.
It's cool to see how he has to adapt.
Very much.
If you want to survive in that situation, Kevin McAllister has to adapt real quick. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as a kid, any kid's favorite scene is the ending of that movie where the wet bandits get caught up in all the traps that Kevin has set up. That's the coolest freaking thing. You're waiting for the end of this film to see how he comes through it. It's Home Alone's pretty rad.
Remember how he recorded part of that movie to play back to that guy coming in?
Oh yeah, that was Angels with Filthy Souls.
Yeah.
Is that a real movie?
It is not.
That was not a real movie. He used it to better effect in Home Alone 2 when Tim Curry and his staff came to the room.
Was it Angels with Filthier Souls?
He's like, or something. No, he just goes, he just say the same movie, but he played the part, said, "Tell me you love me." Then Tim Curry's, "I love you." God, now that was great.
I gotta say, I'm not a fan of the second Home Alone movie. Just not a fan at all.
I am bits and pieces.
Ugh, it's the same movie.
It is.
It's the same movie.
But I will be honest with you. I'm not the hugest fan of the first one.
Oh, wow.
If I think about it as far as some of the alternate theories of the movie, I enjoy it better in my head. Like that the two wet bandits were actually almost like angels that came to teach him a lesson, to show him that it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. There's also a cool one, though, that his dad was actually in the mob, which is how he could afford all that stuff. Go online sometime and look some of those up. It's cool. It's better than the actual movie.
I'm going to start calling you Stretch Armstrong because that's a reach.
They're actually better than the actual movie. But anyway.
Oh, God, no.
I'm going with Ace Ventura.
All right, so Ace Ventura, tell us why you like... I mean,
Hilarious. And it really is what kind of broke Jim Carrey out after he was, you know, started... People noticed him on In Living Color, which he actually was in a few... very, very short-lived sitcoms in the 80s, including one called The Duck Factory.
I've seen that.
In Living Color kind of got him out there. And then Ace Ventura comes along and started his streak there in 94. His hat trick. Ace Ventura, The Mask, and then Dumb and Dumber at the end of the year. And Ace Ventura is just, it's just solid. It's just hilarious.
I mean, it's such a goofy concept. And the only clue he has in this entire movie is that little... gemstone from a Super Bowl ring that he finds at the bottom of the Miami Dolphins dolphin.
It's the big dolphin pool. Tank or pool or whatever.
That's it. That's all he's got to go on. Yep. And it's his slapstick comedy. Probably something I shouldn't have watched in third grade or fourth grade actually. But
I was married for the second time when it came out, so I was okay with it and everything. But.
Yeah, it's And then you have the whole Sean Young being a dude.
Hilarious.
Yeah, good movie. Ah, jeez. But you're up against two 90s kids on this one, pal. And got to go with my boy Brandon on this one.
Home Alone. Okay. All
right. Home Alone, definitely. Love me some Home Alone for all the reasons that Brandon said. Sorry, Jim. Wow, Jim Carrey has been eliminated twice already.
That's a travesty.
It is a travesty, and he might not win at all because I'm looking at who he's up against later on.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. Let's see. Kids movies. Brandon, take it away. What we got going on?
We got Aladdin and Space Jam.
Okay, Brandon, what say you, sir?
I don't know if this is unpopular, but Space Jam.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm a big fan of Looney Tunes, especially growing up.
Okay.
Watched it on Cartoon Network. Nickelodeon had it.
You read my mind. That's exactly my reason for Space Jam.
All right. But
love the movie, though, but for me. And what now? Go ahead. Sorry.
But what about Aladdin?
Well, I don't know, but I don't know much about
Aladdin.
Okay. I do know some of it, but not enough to really.
Okay. Probably one of those movies you saw while you were in fifth grade.
Yeah. When they rolled the TV in. Yeah, when they would roll the TV in, a kid would bring a movie.
Yeah, every kid brings the same movie every time. I couldn't tell you how many times I got sick watching the same Disney movie.
Did you watch The Lion King like
every day? Lion King. Every week it seemed like. It's the worst. All right, Chris.
It's got to be Space Jam.
Got to be Space Jam. All right. Oh, well, same reasons, Looney Tunes?
Yeah, Looney Tunes. It was just, I just thought it was a solid movie. It's very entertaining. Aladdin was entertaining, but a lot of the Disney movies, you know, were, I don't know, kind of formulaic.
Okay.
They all followed pretty much the same thing. And, you know, hey, that's to be expected. That's
gotcha.
Not the biggest fan right. of Aladdin.
Well, my pick would have been Aladdin. I just think Aladdin's way better story than Space Jam. I love Robin Williams as Genie. I think it's fantastic.
I did like that.
And I love all the songs. Well, most of them. I mean, I'm not singing A Whole New World to, you know, Brandon or anybody on a carpet anywhere.
Not what you're going to say.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this. Did you like the live action?
I did not see it.
Oh, okay.
I gave up. I gave up on live action Disney movies after I saw Tim Burton's Dumbo. And I said, you're not tricking me again, Disney. Of course, and I thought the Beauty and the Beast live action film was garbage because it was... Okay, so I saw Maleficent. And it was different. It was different than what we got with Sleeping Beauty. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so this is kind of like a different take.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into Beauty and the Beast, and I can't remember if it was the first live action remake that they had done. I can't remember how, because like I don't really care.
I think it may have been.
So I go into Beauty and the Beast, kind of expecting something different, and it's like it's the same thing, plus with a brand new song. And then they got to fill in like 2 hours, whereas like the original Beauty and the Beast is only like 109 minutes long. So
yep.
I'm just like, golly.
Yep.
So how long are we going to drag this thing out? So, but then, yeah, I didn't care. And I thought Will Smith casting as the Genie was just dumb. I just thought it was dumb anyway. But no, I can't go with Space Jam because I think Brandon and I talked about it before. Space Jam to me, it's just an hour and 30 minute commercial for Michael Jordan.
I guess
never been a basketball fan ever. Just don't like basketball. Can't get into it. Can't tell you the rules. I don't know where you stand to get 3 points versus 2 points, 1 point, 0 point, 15 points. I don't know.
Well, to be honest, you really didn't have to know that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. I mean,
they had their own rules.
I just don't like basketball. So therefore, I wasn't a Michael Jordan fan, and I really don't need a Michael Jordan commercial. But hey, the votes have it. Sorry, Genie, but Space Jam advances. All of our Disney adults are will cry themselves to sleep. Alrighty, going back up to Action Adventure. All right, we are halfway through, and we have, wow, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. Keanu Reeves versus Keanu Reeves. The Matrix versus Speed. Chris?
Wow. I am a huge fan of Speed. It kind of catapulted Keanu into the kind of action star realm. Of course, he'd been in Point Break earlier.
Is fantastic.
But Speed's really kind of what did it. Sandra Bullock, it broke her out. Plus, you had Dennis Hopper as the villain in it. Good concept, but...
And the concept being?
The concept was a mad bomber, and terrorist had placed a bomb on the bus, and if it got below a certain speed, bus goes boom.
Makes you wish you'd rode your bike to work that day.
Yeah.
So, but for its influence, its originality, I'm going to have to go with Matrix.
Mm. Brandon?
Matrix. I loved its, you know, like he was saying, the originality of it, and, you know, just, it's just showing that, you know, basically we all lived in a simulation.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what they talk about today in conspiracy theories.
I love some simulation theory.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Free your mind, red pill, blue pill.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of fun stuff in that movie.
Yeah, this one is an easy one for me to pick because, I was telling you guys before we did this, I've never seen Speed. Nor have I taken Speed, which is good. But Matrix, oh my gosh.
Watch Speed while taking Speed.
No. Watch Speed while watching The Matrix.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
No, like The Matrix, man. That's one of those movies I wish I'd seen in theaters. Of course, I wasn't old enough to see it. But golly, imagine seeing that for the first time. Not not seen that. What do they call the special effects filming technique that the Wachowskis?
Bullet time.
Bullet time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Seeing that for the first time, I can only imagine that you would just hear a few people go, "Whoa!" in the theater seeing that. Oh yeah. Man!
Now they did have a lot of heavy influences, of course. Of course, everyone does. Anime. You know, when they anime and also the works of William Gibson, the man who actually coined the term cyberpunk in the 80s, and his works. A great book called Neuromancer. They admittedly, you know, those were influences, but nothing had really been brought to the screen using those influences before, especially with that quality. And there was nothing else like it.
Yeah.
Especially at the time.
Yeah. I loved The Matrix the first time I saw it, and I still love it now. I think it's great. So Matrix?
It holds up.
Yeah, it's still good to watch now. I think the only thing that's really dated about the movie is the type of Nokia cell phones they use. That's probably the only outdated thing about it.
Well, the sequels, that we won't go there.
Yeah, I never saw the latest sequel.
I
heard it was
Resurrections. Fresh. I never saw it.
Yeah, I heard it was garbage. All righty, I'll do this one. Or actually, I won't because I did the last one. I'll let you guys pick when you guys decide who goes on that one.
Terminator 2 and Man in Black.
Well, Brandon, you started it. What say you and why?
I haven't seen Terminator 2.
Okay.
I have seen Man in Black. And at that time, Will Smith was putting out the blockbusters, too.
He was. On fire, dude. And the rap songs to go along with the blockbusters. Oh, yeah.
Wait, you haven't seen T2?
No.
That's very surprising to me. But and that is also my choice. T2. It was the first Terminator kind of was a hit that came out of nowhere, very low budget. Before that, Jim Cameron was known for directing Piranha 2 for Roger Corman. But he worked with Roger Corman, which was kind of cool in itself. But the first Terminator was a surprise out of left field. And then T2 comes along and totally just kind of like he did with, of course, Alien wasn't his movie. He took a concept and just blew it up 1,000 times. And that's what he did with T2. And it was a violent action movie that was anti-violence, which was what was cool about it. The way he was able to do that. And the special effects at the time were groundbreaking with the CGI that was used, the morphing effects.
It still holds up today.
And it does still hold up, which is surprising. Something that old, you know, 33 years later. Most stuff from back then is going to look a lot dated, but not T2. T2 still holds up.
I'm actually having a difficult time with this one. So I loved me some Terminator 2 as a kid. Had all the action figures, begged my mom to take me to go see it. And then she was like, well, you can go with your aunt. And so we planned a whole day. And apparently I pissed my aunt off. I don't remember doing that. So I didn't get to go see it. So I had to wait for it to come on home video. So that sucked. Men in Black. I've never seen Men in Black. I'm just kidding.
Nah,
I love Men in Black. Brandon said it best about 5 or 6 years ago. Men in Black was the Ghostbusters of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Just substitute aliens.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm with you, Chris. Terminator 2 still holds up with the special effects. The story's amazing. I mean, there's not a bad part of this movie at all.
It's just too bad that it kind of got tarnished later on. After T2.
This was definitely a movie that you wish that they never made sequels to after this.
Right,
one.
Yeah.
And this is one of those rare instances where the sequel's better than the original.
Yes. Like I was saying, kind of like he did with Aliens.
Yeah.
Kind of just took what an Alien, which was a great movie in itself, and he just kind of amped it up. And
damn, I got to go with Men in Black. I do. I love, wow. I love Men in Black.
I didn't see that coming.
I gotta go. I mean, and I love
after that buildup. I thought for sure.
I love Terminator 2 though. But yeah, Men in Black. Golly, I just love it. I love the whole story of the whole, like, hey, we need the, you saw this crap. You actually could be a good Men in Black. Let's erase your identity. Mm-hmm. Give you these gadgets. Go track down some aliens, and God, just, oh, it's just so wonderful. I just love the whole aliens hiding in plain sight thing.
Yeah,
that's just cool to me. It probably is a real man. I know. That's what happens when you pit two good science fiction movies against each other. And this is like one of those movies that you wish you'd never seen the sequels to. But I will say, the third one's good. I like the third Men in Black movie. With Josh Brolin as a...
Josh Brolin as a young Tommy Lee Jones.
He did a fantastic job.
Oh, he was. He was very good.
I never saw Men in Black International. Don't think I'm ever
going to see that. I actually did see that. Yeah. It was, like I said, I had free movies to see, so it was okay.
Yeah, but Men in Black, the Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, just night and day characters with each other. Yeah, that might be one of the main reasons why it's so good, is because you have two characters that are polar opposites that work well with each other. So, yeah. But golly, Terminator 2, that was great.
Yeah. Do you want to think about it for a little bit?
It's going back to that whole deserted island thing.
Okay.
You know, fine.
All right.
If I had to pick, wow.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, well.
You build it up, and then you're like,
well, yeah.
But.
Build it out, yeah. Okay. See? Swerve. All right, so I'll do comedy this, what did I do?
Friday and Happy Gilmore.
Friday. Okay, well, Chris, take it over.
All right, in comedy, up next, we've got Friday versus Happy Gilmore. This is a really tough one for me. I love some early Adam Sandler before he became way, way overexposed. Friday, I don't think I've seen any of the other ones in the Friday franchise except the first one. Friday's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
It is so funny. Happy Gilmore, though, there's a lot I love about it. I love Carl Weathers in it. I loved Christopher McDonald, Shooter McGavin, his character in it. This is, why don't you guys mull it over a little bit? Let me think about this for a minute. This is tough.
All right. Well, Happy Gilmore, I've only seen once, and I finally saw it for the first time maybe about 10 months ago. Laughed my butt off. I can say ass on here, right, Brandon? Yeah, laughed my ass off.
You have before.
So. There we go. Ass.
Yeah, why stop now?
So, probably had a few white claws in me. Thought this thing was hilarious, man. And then, well, Happy Gilmore, you have such stupid characters. You have the jerk Shooter McGavin. You have Carl Weathers, you know, the damn expert in golfing who just so happens to have a missing hand because it was bitten off by an alligator. You have...
Now, when you say it out loud, it does sound kind of silly.
And then Happy Gilmore himself, who's a failed hockey player, who has a horrible, horrible temper. And that's why, basically why he's...
And all he can do is drive. He cannot putt, which is the whole story.
But when it all comes down to it, Friday doesn't have Bob Barker beating up anybody.
I was
going to
say, wasn't he in that? Yeah.
No, it doesn't have Bob. Friday does not have Bob Barker saying, the price is wrong, bitch. You know, I mean, come on. That makes it right there.
I enjoy Happy Gilmore. And I had a hard time deciding, because I had to pick between two Adam Sandler movies here. I could have picked Billy Madison, or I could have picked Happy Gilmore. I enjoy Happy Gilmore more over Billy Madison.
I do
Billy
too.
Madison's just stupid. I think it's stupid.
Even for Adam Sandler movies.
It's still
stupid, though.
Joe, why don't I say hi?
I did enjoy it, I'll admit. But no. Yeah. You know what? I'm going with Happy Gilmore.
I love Happy Gilmore for that. Between those two, Chris, Happy Gilmore. Brandon?
Just going to say Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
All right.
Well, you flip that coin.
All right.
Heads, Happy Gilmore. Yay!
Yeah, all right.
All right, Happy Gilmore advances. Or should I say, bye, Felicia.
Very good, very good.
Okay, kids' movies.
Oh, boy.
Let's see. We'll let you take that away, sir.
Toy Story and the Lion King.
Oof. Okay.
This is really tough.
Brandon.
The Lion King traumatized a bunch of children.
It sure did.
That's true, but
that
makes it stand out.
Yeah. But Toy Story, you know, was great in its own right.
Was.
And it had Tim Allen as. And I know you love Tim Allen.
That's a gimme for him, but
Can you guys hear my smile?
See, I'll be honest. I'm not even a big Tim Allen fan, but I choose Toy Story.
Golly, I love Toy Story.
Just
man.
Everything about it. The story, the fact that Joss Whedon actually wrote the script or co-wrote the script.
I did not know that.
Yep, and just the effects, you know, the animation, the style. I mean, it was just, I don't know. It's just overall,
the first theatrically released computer animated film?
The first that was fully computer animated, yeah. Mm. We had things earlier. We had Tron from 1982, but that wasn't fully computer animated because you had live action in as well. Mm. Toy Story was the first.
Well,
it broke ground and, the rest is history.
Yeah. I love The Lion King. Thought it was great. Is that celebrating its 30th this year?
30th this year. Mm-hmm.
Did it have a live action?
Live action.
Earlier, we were discussing Disney Live. That's what popped into my head about how they called that live action. But it wasn't. It was just a different form of animation that they used.
I remember seeing this in theaters. my girlfriend at the time went with me. Boy, I cried and cried and cried. And she was just sitting there stone-faced. This girl must have seen some things for all I know.
She had been through it all.
She's seen some stuff, man. I'm bawling over Mufasa dying, man. Great songs, great musical score by Hans Zimmer.
But you know, like Brandon said, it did traumatize a lot of kids. Apparently, it did you too as well.
Definitely didn't traumatize my girlfriend at the time. But you have Toy Story. What happens when you're not in the same room with your toys?
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Brilliant concept.
And you can't say that for Lion King.
That's something
I wouldn't know about.
The plot of Toy Story was so simple, but it's something you know I had never thought of that before. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was great.
And they have rules, and the whole fact that you have out of all these toys, you have another toy who thinks he's the real deal, and of course that just so happens to be my boy Tim Allen.
Of course,
and if there's anything with Tim Allen in it, that almost gets my vote. Almost. I mean,
you're leaning towards the Lion King.
Come on, think about your boy.
My vote. So we also got Tom Hanks. We got great songs by Randy Newman as well.
Telling you, overall.
And every kid knows a freaking Sid the Toy Destroyer.
I was telling
my dad and brother this story the other day, real quick. Mom was a coordinator for our church's vacation Bible school. So I would have to go with her every morning earlier while she was setting up. So I brought a whole bunch of my Terminator 2 Judgment Day action figures and was playing with them outside. This kid named Chase comes up, and he starts playing with them with me. And I said, no, Chase, you can't play with me. He's like, oh, okay. And so I just keep on playing with my toys. His mom comes up to me and said, why'd you tell my kid that you couldn't play with your toys? And I was like, because your kid breaks toys. I don't want him playing with my stuff. She's like, well, you either let him play with your toys or you put them up and you can't play with them at all. So I put them all in my backpack and I just didn't play at all. You know what, Chase? You're not going to play with my toys. And my vote is going to Infinity and Beyond with Toy Story.
There you go. Right.
Yeah, I love.
So Chase was your Sid.
Chase was my Sid. Chase was a good kid, though. But you just, man, don't touch my toys, Chase. Stay away, man. Stay away. All right. We have four more to decide. And we will have our Sweet 16. All right, guys. Here we go. Chris, I will let you take it away with action and adventure.
All right. Last up in action and adventure, we've got Blade versus Jurassic Park. I was thinking about this one earlier. These are both such important movies for different reasons. First off, Blade. Blade, to me, is really the beginning of the Marvel Renaissance in movies. 1998, 2 years before X-Men, 4 years before the first Spider-Man. You have to give it credit for that. After Batman and Robin in 97, it looked like maybe there was going to be the end of Batman movies for the foreseeable future. But not only that, it wasn't known if we were going to be getting any decent comic book-based movies, period, because it was so bad. It almost ruined the entire genre. But Blade comes out of nowhere the next year, 98, and just kind of blows everybody away.
And it's such a D-list character, too, which is wild.
That's true.
Heck, they can't even make decent A-list character movies half the time anymore.
Having said all that, Jurassic Park, 93, truly groundbreaking.
Yes.
The technology hadn't been done to the extent before. It kind of took what he was able to do in T2, like we talked about earlier, and just took it to the extreme. Very realistic special effects, especially for the time.
Holds up today.
Just like with Terminator 2, the effects on Jurassic Park still hold up. Mm-hmm.
31 years later, you can watch it and it still looks just as good.
I don't think that's nostalgia talking either.
No. Mm-hmm. It's just facts. And I got to go with Jurassic Park.
I don't even need to list all the reasons why my vote is for Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park is a better film, but you know,
definitely.
I like Blade, but I don't love Blade. I love Jurassic Park. Gosh, I do. It just... Jurassic Park's just fantastic.
It is fantastic. It's solid all around.
And Blade's awesome because, I mean, one of the main reasons that opening scene where in the vampire dance club where the damn blood comes out of the fire or the sprinkler system and rains all over everybody. That's cool.
It did show that if you do it correctly and take it seriously, you can make a good comic book based movie, even from a D-list character.
Yeah.
But like I said, overall, Jurassic Park.
Yeah, Jurassic Park's so great. Brandon?
Jurassic Park.
I thought you were going to say Blade.
No. And, you know, did that scene get you the jump scare in Jurassic Park where the girl's turning on the power and all of a sudden a velociraptor
it did.
Jumps up?
It still gets me if I'm not thinking about it when I watch it.
I've told this story before when I took my ex-wife and my brother to go see it in 3D back for its 20th anniversary. I picked my brother up, Nash, from school early that day. We went to go see Jurassic Park. And like I said, 3D. So I think maybe Nash had seen it like once, but when he was little. So it was basically a completely brand new movie to him. Mm-hmm. I really don't think my ex-wife had seen it. Or if she had seen it, probably didn't pay too much attention to it. So I was waiting. I knew that part was coming up. I knew it was going to be in 3D, I'm just kind of watching to get their reaction. Man, they jumped. Oh, it was the best.
I
loved it.
That didn't get me.
I'm all brave. The dinosaurs don't frighten me. No, but Jurassic Park, phenomenal film. I'll take this one. That's all right with you guys.
Go right ahead.
The last one for horror and sci-fi. We have Scream versus Independence Day. Man, this is kind of tough for me.
And that was two more 1996 movies. Big year for movies.
I mean, they don't make them like they used to anymore, do they? Especially summer blockbusters. Brandon, what are you thinking here?
I loved Independence Day 4.
What?
I liked Independence Day 4, you know. It's Will Smith's blockbusters, like I was talking about with Men in Black, Aliens. And he had to fly up and go into the spaceship to destroy it at the end.
Yeah, him and Jeff Goldblum, yeah.
Yeah.
Golly, oh.
That's true. You do have Jeff Goldblum saving the world. So that was good. Yeah.
And quite possibly the best president in film ever.
Oh, one of the best speeches, definitely.
One of the best speeches. And I mean, Lord, he's in a freaking fighter jet trying to save the world.
One of the best presidential speeches from any president, real or fake, ever.
Oh, man. golly.
And everybody remembers Scream, you know.
Oh, man.
Your favorite scary movie.
Yeah, it's like I was telling y'all, it's like the Scream is the horror film of the 90s because it's like you can't go out on a Halloween night still almost 30 years later after that film was released and not see at least 10 people in Ghostface costume.
Well, you had Wes Craven. It was a deconstruction of the slasher genre.
Yeah.
I am a sucker for anything that's like we talked about before, meta, as we call it. I love that stuff when it's self-aware, mm-hmm. when they try to really play on the tropes. They played on all the tropes of the slasher genre. Brilliant, brilliant writing. Now, every Scream since then has gradually gotten away from that. It became, to me, just another long slasher franchise.
Yeah.
But that first one, to me, still holds up because of the clever writing and what he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I pick Scream.
Wow.
Just because of that.
Even after all the...
Independence Day. Independence Day was great, but...
Think of all the visuals. Think of all those practical effects.
I'm thinking of visuals, and in this case, I'm going to go with the writing more.
Mm.
Because, you know, Scream was... It was a shot in the arm that the slasher genre needed, but, like I said, there's been diminishing returns ever since with the franchise. But that first Scream was just so clever.
Brandon, what did you say?
I was just going to say the visual effects, like the White House getting blown up. The people stepping outside of their yards, just looking up in the sky, seeing a big, huge spaceship.
They were 5 miles long in diameter, those ships. And that wasn't even the mothership.
But that was typical with Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin movies, the filmmaking pair that made it. A lot of flash, not a lot of substance.
Mm.
They're the ones that also did that cinematic gem, The Day After Tomorrow, 10,000 BC. Well, you see where I'm going with this. But anyway, well, they did do Stargate. That's the movie that really got them the clout to be able to do Independence Day. But anyway.
And I might be one of the few people that actually enjoy the, was it 98 Godzilla movie?
Really?
I actually enjoy that movie. I know it's not a good Godzilla movie, but I enjoy it for what it is.
Took it for what it is, yeah. I forgot they did that
one
as well.
So, Scream, and you say Independence Day, Brandon. Mm-hmm.
This was tough in some ways.
Man, this is tough because I'm a huge sucker for extraterrestrial stuff. And what I like about Independence Day is the whole tie-in to Roswell.
Yes,
and the fact that there's even things. And you and I had this conversation last week because you asked me if I believed in a shadow government. And I was like, yes. It's like if there's even one instance of something that people within our government know that even the president doesn't know, that's proof right there that there's something else going on. And I love the fact that it's Bill Pullman, right? And he's like, yeah, Roswell never happened. And then he's got like one of his people in his cabinet saying, well,
that's not exactly true, sir.
Yeah. And then they go down and freaking Brent Spiner from Star Trek, Data's down there. He's like the lead dude for...
See it. I believe that kind of thing my whole life. I'm big into that kind of thing. But I do really firmly believe that there are so many things that are above the president's pay grade.
Yeah.
And which is, you know, kind of shocking, but that's just the way it is.
God. Okay. Scream and the original 78 Halloween are basically tied for my favorite horror films. I can't say that Independence Day is in my top three favorite science fiction films. Based on that, I've got to say Scream.
Wow! All right. Man, I got to be honest, I'm kind of surprised.
Independence Day played on a lot of people's fears, too.
Now, this is tough.
Independence Day, I will say this. If Independence Day had been against Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, I would have voted for Independence Day.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Man.
Yeah. Just because if I'm going between, like, which is better as a better film, I'm going with Independence Day.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
This one was the hardest
this
one.
This was one of the tougher ones, I think.
It gets harder the more,
we go. Yeah.
All right, we have two more to go. Don't turn your radios off yet, folks.
Your radio.
Wow.
Don't take your earbuds or your headphones. AirPods. AirPods.
It's like this is actually taking place in the 90s.
Earbuds. Whatever.
It's coming on the set.
When you're done with this episode, stick a pencil on the cassette and rewind it, please. Yeah.
Be kind, rewind.
All righty. Brandon, take us away.
Are we going kids or
we're going with comedy? We got
Austin Powers 2 and The Mask.
Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, and The Mask. Not the Cher and Eric Stoltz movie from the 80s.
No, that one wasn't too humorous. Very good movie. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but
it won an Academy Award for Best Makeup.
I think it did. And
whatever.
Very good film.
Who cares?
Very good, but very moving, but it wasn't a laugh riot, though. No.
Well, The Mask, saw that in theaters. I was not young enough to get the reference where he is making balloon animals and pulls a condom out of his pocket. didn't quite understand that. I loved the fact that this was, I knew going in as a kid that this was based on a comic book, which is weird. Why? 90s had some weird comic book movies that had nothing to do with A-listers at all. So weird. Jim Carrey doing awesome silliness. I mean, he was on fire this year. Just insane.
I remember this coming out around the same time as The Crow, which I just wanted to bring up The Crow because I'll be honest, I can't believe that's not on here somewhere.
But you chose it, but I had to go with more. I had to go with more mainstream.
The Crow is very popular.
Yeah, I know.
It was mainstream.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, that's a discussion for another time.
You can beat me up later.
No, I just want to do a whole Crow episode.
Well, we'll get to it. We got a 30th anniversary coming up this year. Dang. Brandon, what are you thinking here, man? Have you seen either of these?
I've seen Austin Powers, too. Okay. It's been a long time. The Mask, I don't think I ever saw that one.
Jim Carrey?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
From what I remember of Austin Powers, there's just zany, ridiculous humor that made you...
A lot of it's just, a lot of Mike Myers' humor seems kind of dumb, but there was a lot of really clever stuff in there, which is why I'm going, anytime there's an Austin, Mike Myers, especially Austin Powers, I'm going with it. So I'm definitely going with Spy Who Shagged Me on this.
I'm going to go with that, too.
Yeah, I'm out.
don't even matter what you say.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't matter. That would be my vote as well.
Okay.
I love the mask for another reason. Because it's like he just turns into a freaking cartoon character. And that's hilarious, man. Those special effects when he does that stuff, it's great. But
they were good for
Austin the time. Powers, and I mentioned earlier that Dad and I mentioned at the top of this discussion, Dad and I would wait every December to watch those James Bond films on TBS. And Austin Powers, not only is it a spoof of those movies, it's also an homage to those movies.
It is.
The insane Hitchman, the guy that throws a shoe instead of a hat.
Random task instead of odd job. Ain't brilliant.
The whole Dr. Evil character.
Yeah.
I mean,
you could see Mike Myers' love for that genre, for those movies in there.
I mean, you have catchphrases galore.
It's very quotable.
I mean, your Powers girl instead of your Bond girl, was it? Felicity Shagwell.
Played by Heather Graham.
Yeah. And the reason, I believe, this is one of, I think, two sequels on this list. The first one being Terminator 2, because the original came out in the 80s. Well, Austin Powers International Man of Mystery came out, 97?
97. Two years before this.
Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, is on this list because I felt it was a far superior film comparatively. In fact, the first Austin Powers movie didn't make a whole lot of money.
It
did.
It caught on after.
Caught on VHS.
VHS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw this in theaters. I felt really bad because my parents were there too.
that had to be awkward.
It was very awkward. Austin Powers has the better humor, better characters, and the fact that it did so well to spoof those 60s spy movies in like Flint and Bond. It's Austin Powers. Absolutely, it's Austin Powers. I mean, and you can go to any Spirit Halloween and buy an Austin Powers costume and not a mask costume. There's a reason.
That's true.
There's a reason for that because it just... Just,
people still quote people still Austin quote Powers.
I mean, they're annoying, just like the people who still quote Borat. I mean, you guys are annoying and you need to stop, but better film than The Mask. Man, Jim Carrey got wiped out.
Sorry, Jim.
Wow. Got destroyed.
We love you, but, you know.
Lord, I'm trying to look to see if maybe he was. No. He got destroyed. All right. Our last one. I'll let you guys take it away. Whoever wants to take it away.
Richie Rich and Babe.
All right. So we got Macaulay Culkin again on this list versus a pig.
A pig.
Mm-hmm.
And James Cromwell.
All right, Brandon. What say you? I know.
I think I'd go with Richie Rich.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of it's because I love. That kid had everything, the toys, you know. Yeah. He just wanted a friend, but he had... remember he had the McDonald's in his mansion?
mansion? Amusement park in his backyard?
I was thinking, was that the one that had he had the roller coaster and everything back there?
If I'm not mistaken, he had a roller coaster in his backyard. Yeah.
That's so cool.
I mean, that's... It really shows, like, if you were a kid and you had all that money, you wanted that. Watching that movie, you wanted to be Richie Rich. To have, you know, what kid wouldn't want a McDonald's?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably begging to go to it anyway to get your kids' meal.
Absolutely.
Your Happy Meals to get the toys.
That's right. Yeah. See, I wouldn't have to go to my, 15 different locations to get all my McDonald's boo buckets. I can just go to the kitchen and get my boo buckets.
Robot made.
101 Dalmatians is right in your house.
Of course, I used to wonder, Cadbury is an actual man, the butler, had a robot made. I'm just wondering the reasoning for that. Did they just not want to shell out the extra money for the robot butler? Just pay somebody minimum wage to do it, you know. I don't know. But anyway,
I don't know. I don't know much about my Archie.
But Harvey
or Harvey. Sorry,
I actually was a big fan of the Richie Rich comics.
Yeah,
I still have some reprints of them that I still read from time to time for fun. However, Babe, to me, was a superior film. Babe was a very moving film. Very, very moving. Mm. It was a surprise. Not least of which because it was written by George the Miller. Road Warrior Mad Max Miller, which is crazy. Of course, he also did Happy Feet. So, you know, the guy's like, can do pretty much anything. He's all over, and everything he does is pretty much quality. Right. I got to go with Babe. James Cromwell was great as the farmer, you know, as the owner. It was a good film.
Right. Richie Rich, first time I saw this was in my sixth grade class. I had a friend who brought it and quoted the entire movie as we were watching it in class. Because, you know, I know that because he sat next to me. And I kept going the entire movie. Please be quiet, Justin. Babe, during the pandemic, I could watch whatever I wanted to during the pandemic. And on my birthday, it was a crappy day because we couldn't go out to eat anywhere, whatever. And the pandemic had just started. There was only one movie I wanted to watch that entire day. And it was not Richie Rich. It was Babe.
Really?
And I don't know why. I just wanted to. I think it has a fantastic musical score. You had your cut scenes with the mice, which was just wild. You have a touching story. This pig was saved, basically, for some reason. The farmer, something about Babe, he loved. And, of course, you know, mm-hmm. It's like you're saying, very touching story. There's no way that this could be a sheep pig and goes all the way to whatever competition that they have to herd the sheep. You know, Balram you. He knows the secret mm-hmm. code. And he does it. And it's all in silence, that final scene. And that crowd erupts when Babe the pig does the unspeakable and herds all of these sheep. And it's such a victorious moment, probably one of the best victorious moments in 90s cinema. And
it definitely was the best movie about pigs since Charlotte's Web.
Yeah,
not there's that many, but
pig. You know. I hate that I did not see this in theaters as a kid. I guess it was too kiddish to me. But somebody bought it for me on VHS, and I remember watching it, and I was like, "Whoa, this is an incredible movie!" And it's not filmed like it's a kid movie. It's filmed like it's a movie for adults that kids can go see too. It's a fantastic family film,
and a lot of it comes down to the writing.
Yeah,
again, it was great.
Yeah, I gotta go with Babe because.
However, this has inspired me. I do want to go back and watch the old Richie Rich animated series now. Oh, now that I'm thinking about it, so I may have to do that. But
all right, well, okay. So our Sweet 16 for action adventure, we have GoldenEye, Mission Impossible, The Matrix, and Jurassic Park. Brandon for horror and sci-fi.
Yeah, Star Wars: Phantom Menace, Silence of the Lambs, Men in Black, and Scream.
All right. Chris, what we got for comedy?
We got Wayne's World, Home Alone. What is that one? Oh, Happy Gilmore. Sorry.
I just wrote the abbreviation.
HG, Home and Garden. No, let's see. And Austin Powers, Spy Who Shagged Me.
All right. And for kids, Sandlot, Space Jam, Toy Story, and Babe. And if you thought this was difficult, just wait till next week. Yowza. There's going to be some choking. It's going to be like Mario Kart, but with a March Madness bracket. We're just going to be at each other's throats. It's going to be nuts. Well, does that wrap it up for this week, guys?
That was fun. Yeah. That was fun.
Chris, you going to be here next week?
I'll be here.
All right. Brandon, here. You?
I'll try to be.
Oh, you will be.
I will be.
I'll be kind of mulling this over in the meantime. This is going to be tough.
All right, thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to listen to an old episode where we talk about TGIF, SNCC, Saturday Morning Cartoons, and the Windy Super Bar, and much more, you can subscribe to our show at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Anchor, CastBox, Overcast, Spotify, Breaker, and Radio Public. You can find us on at The90s Today on Instagram, X, and Facebook. James, where can they find you at?
Hey, you can catch me on Instagram at JamesWooNumber10 and on X at James_WooNumber10. Chris?
I'm on Facebook. If you want to look me up, that's fine. My profile...
Chris owns Facebook.
Chris Bishop. My profile picture is my brother and I with Randy Quaid. Just look for that.
James, you want to sign us out?
Tell you what, I'll let Chris do it.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to another episode of the 90s Today. We'll see you next time.
Until next time.
Hey, James. Wake up. The show's over.
Oh, yeah.
The
90s
Today was not recorded in front of a live studio audience at Nickelodeon Studios at Universal Studios.